Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, or just about any other podcast app. Head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcast, and please share those on social media. We have a big show tonight with Kimberly Fletcher, the founder of Moms for America. We're going to have a lot to talk about with her, but first off, how are you doing tonight, Rob?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to have Kimberly Fletcher on tonight. We just got off from celebrating Mother's Day not too long ago. So it's nice to have a mom on who's going to give us her point of view. And I like the organization, Moms for America. There's a lot that's taking place in society today. And just reading somewhere when one of her bios, she was saying she wanted to encourage moms and let them know that they're at the forefront. And it's all about the moms. They're teaching our future leaders. All starts at home with our moms. And those of us who are blessed to have our moms who are still with us, we all know that it's so important to get those values from our moms because they keep the families together. Unfortunately, in today's society, there is so much criminality, so much that's happening with the family, and trying to take away the function of the mom and give it to these nanny schools. Now, I don't know if you were aware or not, Andrew, but Joe Biden came out not too long ago and he was saying that how he wanted to have pre-K for three-year-olds. Now, a lot of people said, hooray, 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 that's great, or even for two-year-olds. I mean, that's a great idea, especially for, you know, moms and dads that are working. You can take your schools here, drop them off, and you're hoping that they're getting an education. But I view it a little differently, because to me, it seems as if though they want to get them early on so they can start indoctrinating our kids, especially public schools, indoctrinating our kids on their thoughts and their ideas so that they're removing from you that parental control, because now they have control of it. You look at society today, look at what they're teaching our kids and how they're trying to have a larger role in what our kids are learning. They say, it takes a village to raise a kid. Maybe, but I don't need your village to raise my kid. I think the families can do it themselves. So let's bring Kimberly on. Let's see what she has to say about this and talk to us about her organization, Moms for America. Kimberly, how is it going?
Well, pretty good. Aside from the world all going crazy, I'm actually pretty hopeful because I'm seeing moms across the country rising up in various different areas on all kinds of issues and saying no. There's major pushback from the moms. That's very inspiring to me.
Very inspiring. And it's very important because, as I said in my opening, it is moms that should be making these decisions. It's the moms that control all this. They're the ones that keep the families together. So Kimberly, tell us a little bit about your organization, Moms for America.
Well, Moms for America is a national movement of moms to reclaim our culture for truth, family, freedom, and the Constitution. We were founded in 2004, and we kind of hit the stratosphere in 2017. We held a Moms March for America, which was a counter to the Pink Hat Brigade that descended on the Capitol in 2017. And it was put us on the map big time. And we were always focused on promoting a love of liberty in the home through the mothers. That was always our core focus. But once 2017 happened and all these moms across the country realized just how close the enemy was to them. And when I talk about the enemy, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about this is literally a battle between good and evil, right and wrong, God and the devil. I mean, that's where we're at. And you have to decide what side you're going to be on. And moms who were looking at that big march in Washington, D.C. in January, where the whole purpose was for these women to show up in their pink hats and throw the middle finger at the President of the United States. That was deer in headlights moment for moms because they realized that they were looking at these women who were there. And then, you know, 2 days later, they show up and they're teaching their children in the classroom. And that was very unsettling. And they started to realize that this battle that we're facing is right in our homes and with our own children. And that really woke moms up. And we have been in the stratosphere ever since, helping moms provide them with the tools and resources and support they need to be not just active, but effective in their action, in their communities, in their homes, in their nation, and promoting and preserving the principles that America was founded on.
So true. Now, something that you mentioned, you said to reclaim our culture. Just describe to our listeners, when you say culture, what exactly do you mean?
You know, Andrew Breitbart was pretty brilliant when he came out with Breitbart and all of his stands. And the one main thing that he always said is that culture isn't downwind from politics. Politics is downwind from culture. So what we have been doing over the last several, well, actually well over a century, is fighting principle with policy. And we get really excited, you know, when if just you look at it like a football game, we have these people who have been communist socialists who have been infiltrating our culture and every aspect of our culture, in our schools, in our churches, in our, even in our homes. They've effectively pulled the father out of the home and replaced him with the government. They have been actively working to replace the mother, and they've been pretty darn effective with that as well. And so every aspect of our society is turning into government is God. Government is the answer, and pushing the parents, the family, that whole entire unit that founded America aside. And they're doing this like a long game. I mean, they're taking move after move after move, pushing the ball down the field. And we get excited when we win an election and get a first down, like we've won something. We don't win anything. We just held the line, but they keep pushing forward. And when we step back and say, okay, we're just going to, you know, let things go where they are, they don't step back. They keep pushing that ball down the field. And so we're constantly taking these policies and thrusting them against the socialist and communist ideas and saying, well, we want this policy to fight that principle. But what we need to be doing is taking the principles of freedom and fighting with that, fight principle with principle, because freedom wins. When we go out into the culture, into our schools, into our communities, our homes, start in our homes and teach these principles of liberty and embrace them and understand them, that is influencing the culture. And Alex de Tocqueville had a very powerful statement when he came to America. He said he was looking for the greatness of America, and he found it in the churches, he found it in associations, but he said that the core, that the foundation of the greatness of America was in the strength of its women. And he said, righteous women in their sphere of influence, beginning in the home, can turn the world around. And that is the power of a cultural movement when it is led by moms. If we start first where liberty begins, in the home, understand the principles of liberty ourselves, then share them with our children in our sphere of influence. I'm telling you, if we can convert the moms of America to liberty, the nation will follow. And that is the path that we're on.
But unfortunately, as we see the women that are out there at the forefront, they're the Pink Hat Brigade. And their idea of the family setting and moms is completely different from what you're describing right now. Their idea is a mom who can drop the kid off and allow the government to raise the kid. And they think that that's acceptable. And when the government steps in, removes the father, you have the breakdown of the family unit. And people don't care. We see this happening. And I look at conservatives. As you said, they're trying to fight this with policies as opposed to principle, which is a great idea. You look at the values, look at the values of the family, look at the values that we are as Americans, and use that to fight them. Because as the Bible says, this is not a battle that we're fighting with flesh and blood, but principalities. And we've got to look at that and take it back to the roots to say, this is what we want. This is who we are. And all this other stuff that you guys are making up, that you're creating, and you're saying that this is a family and you want us to do this, it has no room here, because the only thing that it's doing is breaking down society. It's ripping us apart, just tearing us up completely. And if we're going to get back to the basics, we've got to stand on those principles, like you said. So how are you finding moms? Are they receptive to what you're doing, to what you're saying? Like you said, you started it back in 2004, and then 2017, it just started taking off.
So I can tell you that now they're really listening. So when we started the organization, honestly, I was quite frustrated, because I thought once Moms for America existed, that the media would be like, oh, well, let's get their opinion, you know, get both sides of the story, and that the elected officials in Congress and state houses would say, well, let's see what the moms have to say. You know, what is their take on this? And I quickly realized they don't care. And they don't give a darn what we have to say, because the politicians are slaves to the National Education Association, multiple unions and entities that, you know, fund them. And it's all about money and power. And the media, they have an agenda. They don't care what I have to say. They don't care what our opinion is. They don't want to hear from the silent majority of women in this country who love God, respect life, cherish freedom, and honor family. They don't want to hear from us, but we are the majority. And so the problem is, over the course of the years since we've just, you know, started the organization, at first moms were like, you know, we're living our lives, you know, everything's fine. And they weren't realizing it really kind of started in 2004, where women started to feel like something's happening, but they couldn't really put their finger on it. And as it is incredible and increasingly gone south in our culture with this overtake of everything, last year was like, wow, a major wake up call. And for a lot of moms, it was like, it like whacked us in the face. You know, it's like, wait a minute, where did that come from? People like me, you know, I've been seeing it happen, and I've been sending out the clarion call and the battle cry and saying, hey, moms, you hold on to your kids, be rooted in your family. And it doesn't matter whether or not you work outside the home or you're going to school full time or whatever it is, it's where your priorities lie. And your first priority as a husband and wife, mother and father, needs to be that family, because that is what creates the society. Whatever we're building in our homes today, whatever we're nurturing, teaching, establishing, that is what is going to be the future of our country in 10, 20, 30 years. And now, after last year, they are starting to wake up. And even moms who would consider themselves liberal, I mean, we have them coming to our Facebook page all the time and saying, I'm not even conservative and these are my people, because common sense is freedom. Freedom is common sense. And they have effectively used fear to destroy freedom. And we want to take that freedom and conquer that fear. Unfortunately, we have a lot of people who have been convinced that the government is the solution. And, you know, there's a great quote that says, if you send your children to Caesar schools, don't be surprised when they come home Romans. Well, we're sending our children to government schools, and we're surprised when they come home socialist and communist. We need to be aware of what's going on. And we want to provide the tools to help support these moms so they can be effective in the battles that they're facing.
And this indoctrination has been happening way back when. And now, like you said, moms are waking up and they're seeing this. And I think more so during this whole stay-at-home homeschooling, and parents have been getting a chance to look at the curriculum as to what kids are being taught. It's all a socialist agenda. What do you say, Kimberly?
I couldn't agree more. And it's been going on for a long time, and it's been purposeful. 1913 was a really bad year for our country, and all of the things that were set in 1913 set the groundwork for where we're at today. And it has been this slow, steady encroachment, like passing it on like a legacy to child after child, getting all their kids in the Ivy League schools, training them, indoctrinating them properly and appropriately to continue on the destruction. And 1913, we got the 16th Amendment, the 17th Amendment, compulsory education, and the Fed. All four of those things combined are toxic to freedom. And so there are some things that they figured out. You know, they figured out that if you want to take over a country, you have to start by getting to the youth. You don't have to focus on the adults. You'll never convince, you know, an adult who loves freedom to abandon freedom.
That's so true.
But if you can train the children that this is the way that things are, then you slowly start to take over the country. And then Hitler said that, and Stalin said this, and Mao, all of the dictators, the most horrible, heinous people in the world stage, have used the youth to do that very thing. And they realized, when you talk about this, you know, this preschool thing, they realized about 10 years ago this started, this new preschool thing. And of course, they had Head Start and some other things that they did. But I think that they really had good intentions when they started those programs. And what they realized 10 years ago is this: the science of developing brains and morals. And 80% of a person's morals, values, and understanding, they are developed by the age of 8. And so these people who are trying to destroy the country suddenly say, oh no, we don't have those children you know, from 1 to 5,
right,
we need to go earlier.
So true. Yep. They want to go early on. And that is a reason why Joe Biden is making that proposal. And people are thinking, oh, wow, this is so great. This is so ideal. Now I can get my kids in early. I can go to work. I can do what I need to do. I'm like, yeah, it sounds good at face value. But when you start looking at it a lot closer, it's indoctrination, because they want to start early and telling these kids, hey, this is what you should believe. And then the kids go home. Think about it. When a kid comes home from school and you said, hey, what was your day like? Oh, it was okay. It was okay. They're not telling you what exactly took place. Later on down the line, years later, you realize, who is this kid? These aren't my values. Where are these values coming from? But it was the early on indoctrination from these government schools. Public schools. Public schools are good. I support them. But in the current situation and what they're trying to bring into public schools is extremely dangerous. And it should not be there. It shouldn't be there at all. We are responsible for our own kids, not the government. But if you started on earlier on with this indoctrination, what do you say? Now, Kimberly, you were labeled, or the media referred to you as being an unabashed American-loving mom. I like the title. Were they being comical?
They were being derogatory.
Okay.
What they were being. And I was like, I love it. I embraced it.
Yes. It sounds great. I mean, because who wouldn't want to be an American loving mom? You are an American and you're a mom. I think you have 8 children. Wow. And I'm sure
creating my little army to take our country and culture back.
I like it, because now you're able to instill into them your values, your core values, your family values, American values, as to the values of a society that is going south extremely quick. So when you got that title, what were your thoughts about it? Like you said, they were being derogatory. But hey, to me, I say wear it proudly.
That's exactly. So when it came out in the newspaper, I was like, wow, thank you. And, you know, there's been some other things that they've labeled. We had an event where a group of moms went down to a state Senate hearing, and it was about education. And the mom showed up in mass with their Cheerios, their strollers, their backpacks, their diaper bags. There was a mom nursing her baby in the back. It was amazing. And I remember the guy sitting beside the chairman leaned up and said, what's on the docket today? And the chairman looked at him and said, I don't know. All I can say is whatever they want. And we left with everything we want. And right after that, the newspaper put in an article and it said, well, everything was going fine until the mom mob showed up. And I'm like, I'll take that one too. Bring it.
Kimberly, we see a lot of families have kids, and Christianity is a big topic of discussion for them. How important is it, do you think, that parents get their kids involved in Christianity at a young age, and maybe get some values instilled in them before they hit the public school system?
There is nothing that is going on outside the home that cannot be countered, curtailed, or healed inside the home. If we have broken homes, we are going to have a broken society. But if you can, there's this great quote that says, mothers write on the hearts of their children things the world can never erase. So if you are creating that foundation, by the time they go to school, it would be so strong that things won't work. You know, when they start to throw things at them, they'll be like, wait, that doesn't jive. The problem is you can't stop. This is what parents are doing. They send their children to school and they assume that society, from churches to schools, to me, they assume that everything is supporting them, because that's historically the way it always was. Those values were just going with the flow. Now it's completely countering. Everything that used to support us is now against us. So if we lay that foundation for those first 5 years and then we send our children off to school, it's like sending our children to school in the dead of winter without a hat, gloves, and coat. What mother would do that? So don't send them out without being armed with the truth, with being your compatriot. Our children need to understand we are with you. We are on this team together. If there's ever anything that you feel that makes you feel uncomfortable or doesn't feel right or doesn't sound right, come and talk to me and let's figure it out together, because I'm here with you. They need to know that, because Rob, you're right. These kids come home and it's quick, simple answers. It was fine. Yeah. Okay. And It's not fine. They're being bombarded with things that make no sense based on the values that they've been taught. And that's the best case situation. That's the situation where those values have been infused for those first 5 years. What happens when they're not? Then they're completely off the rails. So we need to be able to pull in the church and the family once again together in this good, sound, solid teamwork. And then get to know your teachers, because there are teachers out there who are just as frustrated and angry about this as we are. The problem is the new crop of teachers who've been coming up over the last two decades have been trained in this big government ideology. And a great deal of them are feminists and have been bought into this. So you need to know who is teaching your child. What are they learning? Look at their books when they come home. Be at the crossroads of their lives. When they come home, talk to them. Keep talking to them until they say more than fine. Yeah, it's good. You know, say, well, what did you talk about? Well, what stories did you hear today? Well, what numbers did you do in math? You know, talk to them. It is worth your time. They are your children. You didn't just, breed them to put them up on the mantle and show everybody that you have them. You are entrusted by God to raise and nurture future citizens, future mothers, fathers, husbands, and wives. Whatever they turn out to be is going to be based on what you created. Be careful what you create, because it's a message you're sending to the future.
It is a message that we're sending to the future. And I think something that you said is so true, is that when these kids come home, we've got to talk to them and we have to be their advocates, because they're completely unaware. They're just like a blank slate. We're sending a blank slate with our values to the school, and the school is able to, those teachers, to manipulate the information that these kids are being taught. And it's extremely dangerous, and we need to be aware of it. And I think most parents are afraid to say anything because the other parent isn't saying anything, and they don't want to look like, hey, I'm not a cool parent and I want to make certain that my kid has a play date, so I'm just going to go along with it. But you can't do that, unfortunately. You can't do it. You've got to stand up and you've got to speak out. You got to get involved in the PTA meetings to know what exactly is being taught at these schools. Because there are teachers that don't agree with it, but they're afraid also. They just want their job. They're going there, they're teaching what they're given, and it could be completely in left field, but they're just doing it because they don't want to get fired. And this is so unfortunate. We look around us, we look at parents that are now that are waking up. I'm in New York City, and parents that were sending their kids to these private schools, that was happening in private schools, sending their kids to private schools. And they started looking at the curriculum and started pushing back, saying, wait a minute, I'm not paying $50,000 per semester for you to teach my kid that he's bad, for you to teach my kid that he's an oppressor, for you to teach my kid to hate himself. Now, you think about this. Why would you want to teach a person to hate themselves? And then your justification is, well, look at what your ancestors did decades and centuries ago. Okay, so you want them to hate themselves. So they grow up hating themselves. And then eventually, we have another situation with a group of people that are saying, well, you guys did me wrong because you taught me to hate myself. It's a vicious cycle. And as I identified early on, it is happening with educated people, people with advanced degrees that are pushing this. And that's what's so scary and dangerous about it. People with doctorate degrees are pushing this. They're writing theses on this. And they're going before different boards and saying, this is what should be taught. Educated people. We need, for the other side, the conservative side, the ones that make sense. And like you said, not just conservatives, but the liberals who are looking at this also and saying, wait, this is wrong. We have got to stop. We need for people to stand up and push back and say, no, I don't want any part of this. The country isn't perfect. No country is perfect. But to try and tear down one group of people to build up another, and for what? There's your systematic issues right there. Now you're creating a systematic problem because you're inherently and knowingly tearing down one group of people to raise up another. What for? And then it starts with the youngest and the most vulnerable amongst us, our children. We're sending them to these schools, to these concentration camps almost, for them to be indoctrinated. They just what Hitler did. And you have talking heads on TV applauding this and saying, oh, well, if you don't agree with this, then there's something wrong with you. We need for the moms to stand up. The moms will lead us. We need for the dads to do it also. But it is imperative that people wake up and start asking the questions and being aware of the garbage that's been indoctrinated in our kids. It has to stop. It's not right. Go ahead, Kimberly.
I was just going to say the irony of all of this is, you talk about the educated people. They're not educated anymore. Education is causing you to think, to love liberty, to search out answers, to study, to find, to question. And that's not what's happening anymore at any level of education. It's indoctrination. So you've got these people who are seemingly intelligent, and those who really do, and some of them really are. Some of them really are intelligent because they really do know what they're doing, and they're indoctrinating other people who have been convinced that if you're going to be elite, if you're going to be, smart, if you're, look, that person with a title, I have a title. And it's just all a scam. And the irony, the big irony of it is that the people like, Bill Maher and Piers Morgan and Whoopi Goldberg, who are all out there now going, cancel culture has gone too far. They don't have a problem with cancel culture. They have a problem with the fact that it's gone too far, but they created it.
Exactly.
They created it. So if they have a problem with it, and there's another great quote that will really help people understand where we are. There's an author, I can't remember his name now, but he said, sometimes we as women particularly tend to look at the more romantic notions instead of, taking care of our children or home or family. We're going to fight the barbarians. Let's fight the barbarians until one day we find amongst the barbarians our own neglected children. And that's where we are in our society today. You've got to realize that we are literally creating the future of our country, of the world. We are shaping it by what we teach, nurture in our homes, by what we know ourselves. We have become a huge, selfish, self-indulged society. And we have got to break away from that and remember that our country comes before us. And another great quote by Thomas Jefferson. He was asked by the man who was the godfather of this man's son. And when his son graduated, he asked Thomas Jefferson, could you give your godson some advice? And the advice was, adore God, reverence and cherish your parents, love your neighbor as yourself, and your country more than yourself. Regardless of what religion you are, how old you are, what background you are, what color you are, we should all be able to get around those simple principles.
Absolutely. And we are here with Kimberly Fletcher from momsforamerica.us. And you are tuned into After Dark with Robin Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all of the great shows. We will be back with lots more to talk about with Kimberly Fletcher from momsofamerica.us.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud is expanding its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
And we're back with After Dark, Robin Andrew. And our guest today is Kimberly Fletcher, the founder of Moms for America. And we've been having a rather interesting conversation with her as to the mom's role in the family today. We've also been talking about the indoctrination of our kids the public school system and how a lot of people are looking at the government to be a dad of sorts or be the controlling figure in the family. It just won't work. Never has and never will. And the moment you allow the government to take control of your family and your child's life, you don't have a family. You have to always keep your pulse on what's happening in your family. Now, Kimberly, why do you think so many people are becoming so lax and not realizing that that's what's happening? The government is trying to take the family from them with this whole, it takes a village to raise your child.
It actually takes a mother to raise a village. Anybody who's been...
I like that.
you know, when I was a kid, if I did something wrong on, you know, down the street, by the time I got home, I'd been chastised by 7 or 8 moms. By the time I got home, my mom lit into me. And that is the power of, you know, moms uniting together in a community. So yeah, it takes a mom to raise a village. So I would say the answer to the problems we face are threefold: convenience, apathy, and the lack of understanding, knowledge of who we are. If you don't know what your rights are, where they come from, and how to effectively exercise them, then you're going to lose them. That is where we're at. So it starts with convenience. I wouldn't even say it's apathy, because convenience kind of breeds apathy. You're saying, okay, well, there's this school system out there. The buses pick up my kids. I get, you know, meals covered at school. They're gone for most of the day. So, hey, I got a whole entire free day. And I know, you know, moms were sitting back and just waiting for that day when their kids started kindergarten. The last kid went to kindergarten so they could go and, quote, live their life. Well, if we are going to abdicate our responsibility for teaching, nurturing, and training our children to the government, then our children become wards of the state.
Wards of the state, and then we have no say into what they're doing. If a parent should encounter something like this with their child comes home, they start talking to the child, and the child starts sharing with them with things that they don't want in their home. What is your advice to the parent, to the mom? What should they do? Because a lot of them are tepid. They, again, like I said in the last segment, they're afraid that their kid could be ostracized. So what advice would you give to those moms who are saying, I don't want my kid taught this. This is not my, these aren't my values.
Well, first they need to realize they're not alone. That's one of the reasons why the government is the socialist, communist, the whole movement to take over this country and reformat it into something it isn't. Their whole objective is to keep us separated, to keep us intimidated. They want us to feel like we're alone. And the fact that they are pushing so hard. And so I always want moms to realize you are not alone. If you are questioning, if things don't feel right, if you are not alone. So you need to realize that first and foremost, and then start uniting with other people. It happened in Hollywood, you know, 20 years ago, Gary Sinise was talking to somebody and they realized they were both conservative and they're like, well, we can't be alone. And so they'd like, hey, are you, you know, they'd secretly say, well, how do you feel about this? How do you? And pretty soon they had a whole entire, you know, Friends of Abe group, thousands of people in Hollywood who are conservative. But they were afraid of losing their job. And teachers have been canceled long before anybody else. Talk about being intimidated. So if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, do not assume you're alone. Assume the exact opposite. Those who are against you are a very, very, very small group who happen to have a very large megaphone. But you're not alone. The second thing I tell them is be effective in your active. First of all, you have to know who you are. Again, I cannot stress this enough. We need to understand the story of America. We need to know the Constitution, understand the Declaration of Independence, know our founding families, not just our founding fathers. This was a family affair fighting for freedom. So one of the things that we do is we have a cottage meeting program. That's the core program of what we do. And it's like Tupperware for Liberty. And we bring moms together in these discussion groups, and they're happening all over the country. And through inspiring stories, relatable examples, and personal experiences, we present the principles of liberty in a way that instantly resonates with moms. And if all they do is meet once a month, by the end of a year, they have more understanding of the Constitution and principles of liberty than the majority of judges and elected officials and congressmen, members of Congress and attorneys in this country. And we have evidence to prove it. So if you know these things, then suddenly you're empowered and you want to get involved. involved. And then, and that's when you're like, that's when we help them be really effective. So we got to take over the school boards. And there is a simple, simple way that we can do things without having to overextend ourselves, but we need to take an active role. So we tell them all the time, just gather, you know, if you guys start a cottage meeting in your community, unite together. Mom Links are the group from across the country. Cottage meeting is the program we encourage them to start with. And then we teach them how to get engaged in the school board. What is the school board? How do you, what is their role? How do you effectively engage with them? And so one of the things we help moms know is the power of branding. If you just get a group of 12, 15 moms together, most school boards only meet once a month, and at the most they meet twice a month. So once or twice a year, you're taking a turn to go to that school board, sit through it, listen, come back and report. But if you just do that, then they're just going to see different faces coming through all the time. Here's where the branding power comes in. We encourage every one of those moms to choose a name, whether it's, you know, Moms for America, Texas, or, you know, Moms for, you know, Pinellas County, whatever. Choose a name, get a t-shirt, same color t-shirt, same name on it. You take your coat off when you go to every one of those meetings. They see that brand. The face may change, but you're the same person. And they're going to start paying attention to you. The problem is we've been showing up too late. By the time that, because they're purposely keeping us quiet. They want us to be they don't want us to know what's going on. They want us to be in the dark so that they can continue doing what they're doing. And so when we start showing up, that's impacting. But if we don't show up, then there's this code red group that liberals, they show up all the time. And when we do show up, it's usually because we're angry, upset, we're yelling, we're crying, justifiably, because the stuff that they're trying to shove at our kids is poppycock, is nonsense, is child abuse. And so we get angry, and then we just look crazy. Because those moms don't realize that for months before they ever caught wind of what was going on, they've had people in fancy suits with flowery titles and big language and checkbooks coming in and saying what a great idea this is. And the decision is already made. So they're being ignored. But if we show up, if we're there all the time with that branded t-shirt, those moms coming to those meetings, then instead of us being ignored when the decision is already made, they'll come ask us what we think while the decision is being discussed, or at the very least listen when we want to go and tell them how we feel about whatever that thing is. And then we have the mom mob that we call them out. We say, you know, anybody who wants to be a part of the mom mob, we just put you on this email list on the local level, state level, whatever. And we call you out on various different occasions. It could be a school board meeting, a city council meeting, a rally. If you can come, great. If you can't, that's okay, because someone can come who won't be able to come next time. And all you have to do is show up. You don't even have to speak. You just show up, because they're not used to seeing that. That room in that Senate hearing that was filled with those moms, we got everything we wanted just because we showed up. And only three of those moms, of the 150, 250 moms who showed up, only three of them spoke. But the power of them being there,
the power,
that's
power.
What turned it.
Yep, there's power in numbers. And like you said, they're hoping that you don't show up. But it only takes like a small conversation, and you never know who agrees with you. And just going back to the earlier segment, I mean, it's not just conservative moms, but there are also liberal moms and moderate moms that are thinking, wait a minute, I don't ascribe to this. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with attacking people. I don't agree with the curriculum that you have out there. I don't want my child to come home and feel as if though they're bad people, or that they will turn into bad people. What mom would want their child to go to school to be told, you're inherently bad. Ancestors are bad. You're bad. Who would want that? Because that is a breeding ground for depression. So you want to stand up, but you want to push back.
Well, and we've had, you know, the suicide rate has skyrocketed. I had a friend who contacted me several years ago and told me her own story. And she said when her son was 13 years old, she was starting to lose him. She realized it. He was starting to go inward. He was being isolating himself. He pulled back from all the things that he had interest in. And she started to get worried, very worried. And so she, you know, got on her knees and asked God what she should do. And she felt impressed to homeschool him. And she's like, I don't know how to do that, you know? So she connected with some other moms in the community. That's the best way to go. Find a mentor. And she got involved in a co-op. And 6 months later, this boy had complete 180. He completely came out of his shell. He was engaged. He was excited. He had hope for the future. And what changed was in this co-op, they gave them the American story. Instead of telling them you're inherently bad because you're white, you're always going to fail because you're black, you're going to be a rapist because you're a boy, you're going to be raped because you're a girl. I mean, this is the garbage they're teaching our kids. And constantly, constantly, they are teaching our kids to hate their country, hate their neighbor, and hate themselves. And that is not productive. So this kid completely turns around because he has something to believe in bigger than himself. He has hope. He's learning about these founding fathers. He's understanding the power of the Constitution. He's realizing the uniqueness of America, and all the lies that he's been told are suddenly countered. This kid not only had a complete 180, but he also went on to, he went back into public school, became stronger, became a good influence on kids, started a Constitution Club in the school, and got endorsements from four different members of Congress to go into the academy, the military academy. And he graduated, and now he runs a business and helps other kids. I mean, this is a true, true story of what happens when we give back who they are. We have stripped everything that gives them purpose and passion away from them, that they are children of God, that they're children of this free country, that they're part of a family that loves them. Those things are being constantly attacked and countered in the government education system. We need to stop calling it public schools, because that's not what they are. They are government schools. And we need to get back to the common school where the parents and the teachers work together to educate those kids and put those kids first. We're not there.
And it's happening all across America. Parents are waking up. And I see this on the news. Parents are going to school boards and they're saying, wait a minute, I don't want my kid to be taught this. Like you said, stop calling it public school. It's public indoctrination. That's what's happening. And they're hoping that parents don't say anything. But it's better to wake up now than never wake up, because our kids are suffering. And it has to stop. I don't want my child coming home saying, oh, well, I'm black and I don't have these advantages. The government has to give to me. And then you think about those families that are multiracial. So are you going to say, okay, the black half of you is depressed and the white half is the oppressor? And then we're walking around with all these kids that are depressed. The suicide rate, as we mentioned, it's up. We have got to make a stand. Parents have got to make a stand. I'm so proud of your organization, Moms for America, because it has to start somewhere. Now, you had shared something else with us, Kimberly, that I want to talk about. January 6th and Stop the Steal. January 6th, we all saw what played out on January 6th. Really unfortunate that to this day, there are a lot of people that are still in jail for doing what? Their constitutional rights to protest. Now, I am not agreeing with everything that went down. But when I look at the summer, the spring and summer of 2020, at buildings that were burned down, police officers killed, attacked, injured, and then when they arrested the perpetrators, the rioters, they released them. But let's go back to January 6th. People are still in jail waiting for a hearing. That's wrong. This is America. This is not some military state. And we have got to start standing up and pushing back. But there is no reason why people should still be jailed because of what happened on January 6th. So Kimberly, share with us, you were there, what you saw.
Well, first I want to say that they shouldn't have even been jailed to begin with. It is a travesty. I think the important thing is to understand how this is happening. They're using the Patriot Act to do it. They chose their adjectives very carefully. Insurrection, siege, all those carefully chosen adjectives. I saw siege by a bunch of feminists who descended on the Hart Senate office building in 2018 when they didn't like the fact that Judge Kavanaugh was going to be nominated for justice in the Supreme Court. And they descended like in mass mob into the Hart Senate office building, completely took over that building. It was horrible. Up and down the stairs and the elevators, stalking senators in every one of the Senate office buildings, Republican senators only. They didn't bother the Democrats. They were walking freely everywhere. And they went up, they breached the Supreme Court building, major insurrection, when they're up there and by the hordes, pounding on the Supreme
clawing
Court door,
at the doors.
Scratching on
yes,
the walls.
Yes, clawing at the doors.
And that was heralded as taking a stand for, you know, for women's rights. I'm like, oh my gosh. So it was a travesty. There was a very small group of people who were there who were not with us, who were brought in vehicles that we saw. They had a plan, and it had been plotted out for over a month, because on November 14th, when we were in Washington, D.C., it did not look good. The optics were very poor when a white woman in a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on camera was accosting a Black mother and her three children. And that didn't go well. And so they're like, we need to do something different. And so we started to get word from our security team and from the Capitol Police that they were going to be coming and dressing as Trump supporters, and then causing problems from within. And they would be able to recognize each other because they would wear their Trump hats backwards. We saw them in December when they were there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they were. Yes, they did this on purpose. And they announced it. They talked about it in all of their, you know, communications. And we have people that are in on their, our security, the people that we work through on the security side, they are in their communication system. So they're getting these things too, and very wise to find out what the enemy's doing. So by the time that we, those of us who were at the speech and the ellipse, by the time we got to the Capitol, there were already hundreds of people that were all over the Capitol causing problems before we ever got there. And when I got there, I turned and I looked back and I saw a couple hundred thousand people coming from the Washington Monument. And then I turn and I see, you know, maybe 3,000 people on the Capitol, you know, doing what they're doing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I keep them from getting with them? And there was no way. And the problem was, there were some things that were changed at the very last minute. So we had VIP tickets. We sat four rows up from the stage at the ellipse. And, a half hour before the president finished speaking, Ali Alexander, the guy who started Stop the Steal, he and Alex Jones were escorted out by the Secret Service so that they could leave early. That was the plan all along. And the Secret Service let them out the back, you know, the secret door, so that they could get ahead of the crowd and lead them there. Ali and several other people were supposed to speak on that stage at the ellipse. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they were taken off. They were told they weren't going to be speaking. All of those people were the ones who were going to give direction as to where they were supposed to go and what they were going to do. And when I got there, you know, the people are like meandering around going, what do we do? They had no idea where the stage was. I'm trying to direct them to the stage. And people are saying, well, there wasn't a stage. We didn't have a permit. Yes, we did. We had a permit. We had a stage. And it was the rally that never happened because there was chaos before anybody came. And all they needed after a year-long powder keg was a spark. One person with a megaphone saying, come on, patriots. And they're like, yeah. And they finally felt like they were doing something. Yeah, let's do something. Let's take back our house, you know? And it was hee-haw. I mean, they're in there. Those who actually went into the Capitol, most of them were just a bunch of bumbling hee-haw idiots who thought it was funny, realizing now not such a good idea, taking selfies of themselves walking through the Capitol. And it was crazy. And the guy that they said, the police officer that they said was killed because he was hit with a fire hydrant, that never happened. So it's just infuriating that they already had their talking points in place. And when we went back to the hotel that night, we're looking at the television of all the reporting and we're all looking at each other going, what are they talking about? Because when we were there, people were singing, they were chanting USA, they were praying. I mean, there's a guy still in jail because he was standing on the porch praying. Seriously? And I'm standing there, and I'm doing a live stream, and my husband calls me. When I got done with the live stream, I pulled up my phone to call him, and I had three back-to-back messages from him asking if I was safe. And I'm like, what? So I called him, and I was like, why are you asking if I'm safe? And he said, they've breached the Capitol. And I'm like, oh, baby, they didn't breach the Capitol. They're on the stairs and the porch, and, you know, it's probably not a good idea. It's not hurting anything. And he's like, no, they're inside the Capitol. So I told my daughter to look up on the news to see what was going on. And then a few minutes later, she's like, Mom, we got to go. We got to go right now. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, a woman was just shot on the house side. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And that I'm looking at all these people around and they have no clue. Nobody on the outside of the Capitol had any idea what was going on inside the Capitol. And even if you go back and you look at the media reports, they are either showing the same 30 minutes over and over and over again from inside the Capitol, or they're showing what was really going on. And you've got those reporters standing up against people who are just kind of meandering and looking like, what are you guys talking about? Saying the city is on fire and everything's collapsing and blah, blah, blah. And they're all going, what? And you can see them behind them. Like, what are you talking about? So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, Kimberly, it seems pretty clear that this is political revenge. We've seen over 900 homes raided since the January 6th incident. And we've seen Nick Fuentes just recently added to the no-fly list. As someone that was there and an organizer, have you been concerned that they will come after you?
Well, I thought right up front that they probably would. So I called the FBI right away. And I said, listen, I'll be happy to tell you everything that I know. And I'm just telling you guys a piece of it. But the one thing that I should say is the Capitol, this was a major setup. And I know you guys already believe that, but I'm telling you, it absolutely was. I was on the phone with the Capitol Police sometimes every day, sometimes multiple times a day for like a 3 to 4 week period. And every time I was like, okay, you know, there's like a million people going to be coming to the Capitol, not Capitol with an A, Capitol with an O. They're coming to the building. Are you prepared for this? And they're like, well, you know, you can only have 49 people. You're going to contain your event. I'm like, are you hearing me? they wouldn't let us have portalettes. I finally convinced them to let me have 5. And they're like, well, why would you have 5? Because you only need 1 per 50 people. So that sends up a red flag. And they were constantly trying to not give us a permit. They were telling us that the whole entire place was reserved when it wasn't. When we got there, it was the most unfriendly situation you could possibly find. The mayor had the city crews go around and pick up all the trash cans. So we had no place to throw trash away. So we as moms, you know, we're calling out and saying, okay, you guys bring trash bags with you. You know, the restaurants were shut down. You could only have 10 people in any, you know, location anywhere. We were allowed 49 on the Capitol because it was federal property. I mean, the whole thing was just nonsense. And you couldn't, so there, all the bathrooms were closed. All the restaurants were closed. We had no food. We had no place to throw away trash and no place to go to the bathroom. And that was how we were welcomed and, you know, in the city. So she created an environment to make it as uncomfortable as possible. And then after the event, they were locking people in the hotel so they couldn't get out.
You know, what you're saying is so true. And that's what I had read. The mayor had said, you can't bring anything in. And then January 6th, the narrative changed. Why the liberal media keeps showing us the same old reel over and over again, the same narrative, is because they don't want the truth to come out. Just the other day, they were talking about this on the Hill during one of the, I think it was the House meetings. And one of the members who had said, Trump caused it, said, well, no, I don't think so. And he said, no, what we were told is not what happened. Trump didn't cause this. And we all know he didn't cause it. We all know that it wasn't an insurrection. They didn't have guns. Whereas the spring and summer of 2020, we saw guns, we saw knives. That was the insurrection, not January 6th. January 6th, bumbling idiots. Like you said, they thought, oh, this is cool. Let's just go in. Let's start taking pictures. We saw that. We even saw police officers ushering them in and saying, hey, take pictures. Just don't tear this up and don't tear that up. And then we saw on camera Ashley Babbitt going through a window without a weapon. Then we saw a police officer shoot her in cold blood. To this day, we don't know the officer's name. The only thing we know is that he was Black. Why are they withholding that information?
Open fired into a group of people.
He could have killed any number of people. And not only that, the police officer that they lied and said was hit with a fire extinguisher, we now know that did not happen. Anderson Cooper, Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Joy Reid, Joy Behar, the women at The View, Rachel Maddow, it was a lie. Lawrence O'Donnell, you all lied. Washington Post, New York Times, I'm calling them all out because they lied. Big tech allowed this lie to be perpetrated. And you have people out there now that don't know the difference. They don't know that our government, unfortunately, has been lying to us and is still lying to us. And as I said on one of our shows, I wait for the day and for the moment for justice to be prevailed. Bill Barr had the opportunity to call this out. He saw it. He knew what was happening. He walked away.
I've had people who have reached out to me in the media, and the only thing they ever want to know is who paid for the stage, who was behind it. And I'm like, what? Why do you care? care about that? Who cares what how who paid for the stage or how it got there? What matters is that the people of America had a place where they could go and they could speak and be free. And honestly, that speech that President Trump gave was the most lackluster speech he'd ever given. If they think that incited anything, they should look at the speech that I gave the night before at Freedom Plaza. I get really hyped up when people talk about it, because I know that there are people who have had their homes raided, who are still in jail. I've heard from the mothers sobbing, saying they haven't seen their husbands in months. One guy was literally on the front platform in front of the stairs, wasn't even on the stairs, praying, and he's been arrested. So I emailed the FBI and I said, you want to know what happened? Here's where I live. Here's my phone number. You can come talk to me. But they don't talk to me. They want to come talk to me. And I think that eventually I will be put on the no-fly list, because we are launching a huge movement right now. And what we need is those 100 million people. It's more than 74. They keep saying 74. It's more than that. And it's growing, because Amen. People are disgusted with what's going on. And they're starting to realize that they were lied to and deceived and duped into believing that Trump was the enemy. And really, who was the enemy was anybody who loves freedom and wants to be able to live in a free society. Now we're dealing with all of these people hungering for a voice, a place. They want to do something. But if they don't know their rights or where they come from or how to effectively exercise them, then they don't know what to do about it. So then they just become a mob. We don't need a mob. We need an effective group of American citizens who are rising up and saying no, because that's all we need. That's the power that we have. Just stand up and say no. Joe Biden, every single one of those executive orders that he's put through, they mean nothing. He may be the president of the United States, but he wasn't voted president of the United States. And no matter how many times they try to convince us otherwise, that will not change. And that's why I believe 100% that fence is still around the Capitol. They're not afraid of us coming and, quote, storming the Capitol. They're terrified of being pulled out in chains and handcuffs when the truth comes out. So this is what we are doing to send a powerful message to the entire cabal. Big government, big tech, big corporations who are trying to silence our voices and intimidate us into submission. On July 4th, we are launching the Big Tech Exit. And starting on June 21st, leading up until July 4th, we are going to be posting stories on the keepfreedom.com website. It is a coalition website. We're bringing coalition partners together. Anybody who wants to be a media partner, coalition partner, will add you to the website. We have so many more we have to add. We haven't put up yet, but we're working on it. This is a place where we can all unite together, where we can find out, you know, what's in my state. We will have a map on there. You click on your state and it will show all the coalitions and networks in your state that you can connect with to be effective. Find out what's going on. Find out how you can wield your voice in a powerful, effective way. And then right now it has all the information on the Big Tech Exit. And the whole point of this, we want people, every freedom-loving American, to either drop, cancel, or black out their big tech platforms, like Google, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter, all in one day. If a million people do that, that sends a powerful message, not just to big tech, but to the entire cabal. We are standing up. We are speaking out. You cannot silence us. You cannot erase us. We will be free. The reason why they completely eviscerated Stop the Steal from the social media planet is because Ali Alexander stood up December beside Sidney Powell in Georgia and said, Stop the Steal is a movement that is not going away. This isn't just about an election. It is about Stop the Steal of our republic. Stop the Steal of the Constitution. Stop the Steal of our American values. And that's when these communist overlords stepped back and said, oh no, we can't get rid of the president. We have to wipe those people off the planet. And that's why Stop the Steal disappeared. But the people, we're all still here. Do not steal our Constitution. Do not steal our republic. Do not steal our country. Do not steal our values, our families. We are going to stand strong. So starting June 21st, people can come and they can see all the stories of real people who have had their lives destroyed because their businesses have been shut down. Their daughters have lost opportunities because of boys competing in girls' sports, the mask mandates, people in jail, people who've been deplatformed. They're all going to come on. Real Americans, the media will not tell you these stories. They don't want you to know this is going on, but it is. And we're going to have those stories highlighted from June 21st to July 4th. And on July 3rd, we're going to have a live event where we're standing up for our freedom. And it all leads up to the Big Tech Exit, where we're like, go big, people. The president said, maybe you can meet together with your family family and a small little group of friends on July 4th. Maybe we can be free then. And I'm like, okay, go big, be free, get together with your family. So if you're hosting an event anytime between June 21st and July 3rd, you let us know. We'll post it up on that website to let people know where to go and how to find you. We need to start uniting together and standing for what we hold dear.
Yeah, thank you so much to our guest, Kimberly Fletcher. If you'd like to find out more about her and her organization, go to momsforamerica.us, the big tech exit. Be sure to go to Moms for America and check that out. And thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. We will see you guys next time. And remember to stand for something or you will fall for nothing.